God. If you would find your place in Matthew chapter 16, if you find your place there, would you stand with me? And if you need a paper, go like this. You need one right up here and one back there. Right back there. This evening, we're going to continue our study for the faith. Everybody good now? All right. Our faith in God's Son, Matthew 16, verse 13. And the Word of God says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, and I want you to get this because it's one of the most important questions that any of us could ever answer. But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege to come and study your word tonight. I pray that you would bless your word as we open it, read it, and as it's expounded on tonight in the lesson. I pray that it would just touch our hearts and help us to know you better and to serve you more and help us to make you known in this world. Lord, we love you. Pray that you bless and help, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated. You'll notice verse 15, but whom say ye that I am? And there is a place at the top of your paper to write down verse 16 and try to remember that. Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the promised one, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And that's who he is. We got a lot of information to cover tonight about Jesus. And for a lot of you, these are things that you've known about the Lord for a long time. And some of it may be review, but I don't think any born-again believer ought to ever get tired of learning about Jesus. Amen. And so, and others, maybe some of this is some things about the Lord that you really didn't know or maybe didn't understand. So I pray it'll be a blessing to everybody tonight. But let's get into our outline. Number one, the definition of Jesus Christ. The definition of Jesus Christ. And letter A is, he is equal with God the Father. Jesus Christ is part of the Godhead, and he is part of that Trinity we're going to learn about tonight. But we got to understand about Jesus. He's equal with God the Father in his power, in his eternality, in his authority, and in any other way you can conceive, Jesus Christ is equal with God the Father. Philippians 2:6 says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And Jesus understood something. It was not wrong for him to claim to be equal with God the Father, because he is equal with God the Father. In John 5:18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And maybe a lot of people don't understand that today, and there's some so-called Christian churches today that teach something completely different, but they understood when Jesus said he was the same as the Father, when he was equal with the Father, he was saying he was equal with God. And that's because he is. Jesus is equal with the Father. Letter B, he is the express image of God. Everything that God the Father is, Jesus the Son is also. He's the express image of the Father. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. And by the way, I hope you'll write these references down so you can study those things out. Colossians 1, 15 and 16, speaking of Jesus, says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 says this, Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And Jesus Christ is the express image of God the Father, meaning when you saw Jesus, you saw God. When we look in the Bible and we see Jesus, we see God the Father. He's the express image of God. He is the image of God. And that's what he said. When you see me, you've seen the Father. Letter C, he is eternally pre-existent. Jesus Christ, his Son, has always existed in eternity past, and he will always exist in eternity future. You cannot go back to a time when Christ didn't exist. And there are some people who erroneously teach that Jesus began to exist when he was born in Bethlehem, and that's simply not the case. Listen, if you go to Genesis 1:1, can anybody tell me what it says? In the beginning. That's it. That's all I need. That's it. You don't have to say the whole thing. In the beginning. You know what happened in that moment? In the beginning, God created. Well, guess what? Before the beginning, that meant that God started time. Before he began time, there was no time. There was just eternity. You realize that God created time in order to create the universe? Now, I don't know about you, this is mind-boggling to me, but God had to create time in order to create space and matter. And so there was a beginning, and by the way, one day there's going to be an end of all those things. But God has existed above that, and beyond that, he is above time. And as God, Jesus has always existed. I told you when I was a little boy, I asked my pastor who God's mommy was. And what I wanted to understand as a little boy is, you know, I had a mommy, everybody has a mommy, everybody starts somewhere. When did God start? And the answer is, he has no beginning. He has always existed. And by the way, that's the only thing that makes logical sense for this universe to exist. You think about the evolutionists who try to figure out where it all started. And I watched a clip again the other day, and it cracks me up. Richard Dawkins is one of the most foremost atheists in the world today. Very, very well-renowned scientist. And he thinks this is awesome. When he was asked the question, if it was possible that life arose on Earth as a result of intelligent design, his answer was that it's possible that a advanced civilization somewhere else in the universe came here and planted the seeds of life. In case you're not understanding what he's saying aliens came and started life on Earth. And so if that's his idea of intelligence, well, guess what? Okay, Mr. Dawkins, if that's the case, where did that civilization come from? And I suppose he might have to come to the conclusion that somewhere in the universe there was another civilization that came and started life there. You keep going and keep going, and you never get to a beginning, because the only thing that makes logical sense is that somewhere, someone has to be above all of this. And Jesus Christ is that someone. He is the eternal, pre-existent God. In the beginning was the Word, John 1:1. And Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. And that is the answer to it all. John 8:58, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And Lord willing, we'll learn a lot more about that Sunday morning. Number two, the deity of Jesus Christ. The deity of Jesus Christ. This word deity simply means that Jesus is God. A deity is God. So Jesus is God. He is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. And as God the Son, he is as much God as God the Father, because he and the Father are one. And you remember Thomas, after Jesus rose again, Thomas didn't go to church that first Sunday night, right? That's right. He missed church the first Sunday night. Was it church? You guys are wearing me out. Come on, people. Was it church? Well, yeah, it was an assembly of believers, right? Those that were baptized believers of Jesus Christ, they were gathered together in one place, waiting on the Lord, waiting on his promise. And guess what? Jesus showed up in the midst of them. Thomas wasn't there. So the next Sunday night, Thomas had declared, listen, I'm not going to believe unless I see him. Unless I put my hands in the nail scars, I put my hand in the pierced side, I'm not going to believe. But then Jesus appears out of nowhere, just appears. And all of a sudden, Thomas has a change of heart, doesn't he? Yeah, he says, Jesus says, Thomas, here I am. Come and touch, come and feel. And Thomas simply cries out, my Lord and my God. Thomas knew who he was. He didn't have any doubts anymore. And you can get on to Thomas about being doubting Thomas all you want to, but Thomas had great faith in the Lord. And praise God for him and all of those others. Hebrews 1:8, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. How many gods are there? There's only one God. And yet God says to the Son, thy throne, O God. So God, the Father, calls Jesus God. He is God. Letter A, the words of Jesus express his deity. In John chapter 10, Jesus stated that he was one with his Father. And some might debate about what Jesus meant by that, but the Jews that were there understood exactly what he meant. In John chapter 10, verses 30 through 33, Jesus says, I and my Father are one. And the Jews' response was, praise God the Father that he sent his Son to be with us. No, the Jews' response was, they took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? And their reply, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Now people want to debate about what Jesus meant when he said, I and my Father are one. I was trying to witness to a friend of mine who's a Jehovah's Witness, and they don't believe that Jesus is God. Okay? And trying to share the gospel with him. And listen, you need to be careful because they'll say, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, but they don't believe that Jesus is God. They don't believe in his deity. Is that important? You bet it is. If he's not God, he can't die for the whole world. Okay? And so I said, well, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. He said, yeah, me and my wife are one too. That's their response. They try to explain it away. But you got to understand, we need to get it the way the Jews got it. By saying, I and my Father are one, he was making himself God. Now, why would he do that? Because he is. Letter B, the works of Jesus exhibit his deity. I got a few things here you can write down on your paper if you want to. Number one, Jesus created the world. John 1:3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus created the world. Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Did that leave anything out? Pretty sure Jesus created it all. Look at Mark chapter 4, if you would, please. Mark chapter 4, verse 39. Number two, Jesus exercised authority over nature. Jesus created everything, and he demonstrated or proved his power over everything because he exercised authority over nature. Mark 4, verses 39 through 41. Somebody find that and read it for me, please. Mark 4, verses 39 through 41. Man, I love it, don't you? By the way, these weren't just random people that had never seen Jesus do anything awesome before. These are people that had been with him. They had seen miracles. And yet, when Jesus stands up in the boat, says, peace be still, and everything just stops, they were terrified. They were terrified of the awesome power of Jesus Christ. And they said, what manner of man is this? Even the wind and seas do obey him. Listen, Jesus has authority over nature. Number three, Jesus exercised power over human disease. You remember the woman in Luke 8 that had the issue of blood for 12 years? She had this medical condition where she was she was bleeding for 12 years. And she heard that Jesus was coming through, and she had spent all of her living up on physicians, and nobody could heal her. And she saw Jesus going through the crowd and thought, if I could just touch his garment, if I could just touch his robe, I'd be healed. That's the kind of faith she had. She wasn't going to bother him. She didn't feel worthy to even talk to him. But she made her way, pushed herself through the crowd, and reached through and just touched his robe. She just touched the hem of his garment. And the Bible says virtue went out of Jesus, and she was healed. After 12 years of not being able to be healed, after spending everything she had to try to be healed, just one touch. Was it the touch? She had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. She didn't have faith in his clothes. She had faith in the man in the clothes. So Jesus has power.